Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. What's in the sealed Book of Mormon? The late Dr. John Pratt's going to tell us more about what the prophet Mauricio Berger down in South America had to say. So we'll find out more. Check out this conversation.
There's several books. There's three main books that have come out now. At some point, I can talk a little about what's in each of those books. I mean, I can do as much as we have time for, that you want.
Well, we came here early to give us lots of time.
Okay, so. We got lots of time. Okay, so...
So you're going to tell us what is actually in the...
I'll tell you what's in the part that has been published.
Right.
There's three main books in it. The first is called The Words of Moroni. And like the words of Mormon in the Book of Mormon, which explains a little bit what's going on, the words of Moroni explains what's going on. And basically it explains that there's some books in the first, that the plates that Mauricio is going to translate, some of them will be in the first part edition and some will be in the second. He says that most people will not accept it in this generation. In a couple more generations, most of the LDS church will have accepted this as true, but not at first. And that we don't get the second half until we learn what's in the first half. So that's just his words explaining. The two main books in it are the book of sealed book of Moses and the Acts of the Three Nephites. And I can do them both just in a sentence or so. The sealed book of Moses is a high priest's manual. And to preface that, I will tell you that Brigham Young purged all of the high priests out of the church systematically, immediately. Brigham Young was never ordained to be a high priest, and he got himself up to be the president of the church. He started the doctrine that apostles were the highest. Nowhere in the Doctrine and Covenants will you read that apostles are the highest office. A high priest is above an apostle. Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery were apostles after Peter, James, and John. When they apostles, basically, if you, section 20 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 38 says, an apostle is an elder. But it's an elder with a special calling, which is to go out and baptize and start new branches. Whereas an elder is more the stationary. We're in a branch, you're in a church. It's the presiding over a flock. An apostle is one that goes around. But an apostle is basically the same as an elder. In the church, in Joseph Smith, section 107 says, the presidency of the church is supposed to be made of high priests. High priests were not restored until... June 4th, 1831, more than a year after the church was founded, there were no high priests at first. They're elders.
Right.
And
Joseph was the first elder. Oliver was the second elder.
Right. First elder, second elder. Exactly. And that's what they were. And the high priest came later. And even in the history of the church, right now it still says, Joseph Smith says, this is the first time that Melchizedek, meaning the high priests of the Melchizedek priesthood, has been restored. And I've written papers on this. Anyway, Brigham Young was never a real high priest. And he ordained most of the high priests to be 70s. That's where all those 70s came from. And once they were ordained to be 70s, that means they were helpers to the apostles. That's the job of a 70. So he just demoted all the high priests by ordaining them 70s. And that's why all the stakes... That wasn't just a silly mistake somebody made. That was Brigham Young purging the church of high priests. And so Moses had the same problem. He had 70 people he wanted to take up on the mountain. He kept saying, I would like you all to be prophets. And they would say, no, no, you be the prophet. We want to follow the prophet. You know, and they would... And so Moses writes this book and he says, the Lord won't even let me ordain anybody to be a high priest here. And so I got a whole manual. So I'm writing this manual because I'm showing that at the end, oh, there's two parts. Oh, this is, we're back to the book of Enoch now. There are actually two parts to the last dispensation. There's an opening part and an ending part. And the, well, I can tell you, now this might be a separate interview from, we talked about the book of Enoch, but it has 364 years in it. Half of that's 182 years. There's a time of restoration in the book, on the calendar. It's the Passover time. And it's all that time when Joseph Smith's doing all his work and all the big stuff happened, 1830 to 36. The temple, 1836, 1830, Book of Mormon, that time period, that 7 years, was holy on the Enoch calendar. Well, 182 years later is the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. And 180 on to 1830, of course, we can all do that in our heads, is 2010.
Right.
And so it's around 2012. And
we mathematicians can do that.
Yes. Well, with a little luck. And so there's a seven-year period. Basically, it's closer, when you do it carefully, it's closer to 2014 to 2021. We're in it right now. And this is the 7 years when this is all happening. And by the way, that's when Denver Snuffer started too, was 2014. So he's doing his thing in those 7 years. And in Brazil, they're doing their thing. Anyway.
So Denver Snuffer and Mauricio started about the same time?
Yeah, because Denver, the time he gave his last of his 10 lectures and said, okay, now we're going to actually start baptizing and doing things, was September of 2014. And
he'd been excommunicated by then, right?
Yes, he was the year before. It was in September of the year before, when he just started the lectures, he had just barely been excommunicated. Yeah. So the point is, these things are on calendars. It's all set up. If somebody's going to fake it, they got to fake it in the right years. That was one of the things that got me. When I read in the sealed book, and it said, in the second part of the last dispensation, this will come forth. And I'm saying, oh my goodness, I know the calendar. And we are in the holy part of the second part of the... In other words, nobody's... Who's going to get that right? You know, nobody's going to know that. Anyway, why am I telling you that? Oh, we're doing the sealed book. Sealed Book of Moses basically is a high priest's manual. And Moses is saying, my people are not ready to be high priests, and nobody's going to be. And he saw that even when the church is restored, they're still not going to be in the days of Joseph Smith. But at the last days before the second coming, people will finally be ready to be real high priests again. Because Joseph Smith, they started high priests, but half of them were excommunicated. Like, I mean, they didn't, it wasn't very successful. So that was all one sentence. That was the short sentence that said, the whole sealed book of Moses is a history of the world, of a high priest manual, and also how Satan will mimic it with his priesthood. And he shows how Satan will have these academic universities where they join the skull and crossbones and these orders to gain the secret knowledge, the Rosicrucians, and you know, all of the, and that Satan will have his parallels. And this is shown, Nimrod and what's going on all through history. So it's a one sentence, it's a high priest manual. And the church has never needed a high priest manual because they haven't had any real high priests. Sad, but true. Then the book after that is the Acts of the Three Nephites. And when you hear that name, you say, oh boy, this is going to be about, you know, turning rivers out of their courses and moving mountains and, you know, great healings. I mean, the Three Nephites, I mean, they're going to be amazing. If somebody were faking the book, I think that might be what they would do. But this is a book written to prepare for the second coming, to prepare what is needed. What is it we need? The second, there's a lot of things in the Acts of the Three Nephites, but one of the main things is it's the instructions on how to successfully start the United Order. And I read that and I thought, if anybody's faking a book, they're not going to say, Well, you know what? Joseph Smith tried to start the United Order and failed. And then Brigham Young really tried. And,
Brigham pretty much succeeded until the government shut him down.
Well, yeah, but there were other things that shut him down. It wasn't just the government. He had Orderville going. I've read the histories, and there were other things. The point is, it failed too. He tried and failed. Now, if you were faking a book, would you say, well, yeah, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young both failed, and the church has given up on it now. You know, there's no talk about, hey, let's start the United Order. They're just trying to say, try to go to church on Sunday. Well, that was last year, but, you know, we're back to like 10 commandments, you know, don't keep, commit adultery if you can help it and stuff. I haven't heard anything about, nobody's going to fake a book saying, oh, here's how the Nephites actually started it, and it worked for 200 years. Well, that is all in there. And I have one of the papers, a link to it on that secondinvitation.info under articles. There's an article called Implementing the United Order, and that's my summary of what I read in that book on how to do it. And they show how to do it. And we're doing it. We're starting the United Order. But see, that's not all exciting, but it's what we need. So people read this and say, well, we don't want a high priest manual, and yeah, starting the United Order, whatever. So it's not all exciting, and it's not going to be a movie, but it's what we need.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with the late Dr. John Pratt. In our next conversation, John will tell us more about a revelation they had about the three churches of Mormonism.
LDS Church preserves missionary work and spreads the word over the world. The Reorganized Church preserves the lineage of Joseph Smith, which is important. And the third church is the Temple Lot Church, and it preserves the Temple Lot.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe for just $5 a month at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview before everybody else. If you'd like to watch the entire video for just $8 a month, you can either subscribe on YouTube, Patreon, or my website, gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button, and I'll add you to our Gospel Tangents Insiders group so that you can see entire videos. For those interested in a PDF transcript, you can subscribe at either Patreon or on my website. For just $10 a month, I'll send you a PDF as soon as it's complete. If you'd like a copy of the paperback as well as a PDF, just sign up for $20 a month at either Patreon or my website, gospeltangents.com. Of course, you can buy individual transcripts at amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all the things that we have there. Don't forget to support Gospel Tangents with an awesome t-shirt like one of these. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Also, you can get our Twitter updates at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got more of our great videos. Thanks again.